Speak to you in the name of one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Happy first Sunday in the season of Advent, or I could say, which would be equally appropriate, Happy New Year. It is the new year of the church calendar. The church calendar runs from the first Sunday of Advent to the first Sunday of Advent. We run on a three-year lectionary cycle, year A, year B, and year C. We've just completed year C. Year C, we stay with the Gospel of Luke, with the Gospel of John intermittently thrown in. Year B, we stay with the Gospel of Mark, with the Gospel of John intermittently thrown in. And year A, which we are now in, we stay with the Gospel of Matthew, with the Gospel of John intermittently thrown in. As I've said before, each gospel writer has a specific purpose for writing their gospel books, and they write them to a specific community. So we're going to be spending the better part of this year with Matthew and in Matthew's gospel. And Matthew writes his gospel with the point of making sure that all of the world knows and understands that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. And Matthew also wants to make sure that people know how wonderful of a teacher Jesus is. And that if we just listen to Jesus' messages and teaching and learn from him, our lives and the world would be a better place. Matthew is, by some scholars, called the ecclesiastical gospel because it's where we get some of the structure of the church world. It is in Matthew's gospel and only in Matthew's gospel where the word church is found. It is later repeated by Paul, but in the gospel readings, it's only in Matthew. Matthew is also where we get the Lord's Prayer, which we say every single Sunday. Matthew also gives us the formula for which baptisms occur, and the words that you use in baptism, when we say, we baptize you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. That formula comes from Matthew. And so it's no surprise that our gospel reading today was from Matthew. And in our gospel reading today, we start the season of Advent with Matthew, like I said, that we'll spend the year with. But before we get into the gospel reading of Matthew, I want to set the stage of what the season of Advent is. Because I'm going to be real honest with you. I went to church pretty much every single Sunday growing up, and I hated the season of Advent. I despised it. Way worse than Lent for me. It was by far my least favorite season. And that's because I came to church every single Sunday, and I'm a little kid sitting in church, and they very painfully light one of these candles at a time. Just one. You got to come the next week. Then another one gets lit. And then you come the third Sunday and you have three lit. And then you finally come the fourth Sunday and you finally have all four candles lit. And then I'll tell you what happens. It's still not Christmas Eve. And as a kid, I desperately wanted to get to Christmas Eve. And I had to painfully sit through the lighting of four of these candles and have it not even be Christmas Eve. And on some years, the fourth Sunday of Advent falls one entire week before Christmas Eve. So then you have this painfully long time. Sometimes the fourth Sunday of Advent comes right at the start of Christmas Eve. You have Sunday and then Monday's Christmas Eve, and it wasn't quite that bad. But some weeks, it's very spread out. And I viewed these candles as the barrier to my Christmas morning. And I despised Advent. But then my understanding of Advent changed, and I was educated about the church's understanding of the season of Advent. The season of Advent used to be thought of as a penitential season only, much like Lent is a penitential season. And the season of Advent used to be solely the color purple, where everything would be purple, like the season of purple. Like the season of Lent is the color purple. But as you can see, we now have blue. And the reason for that is with the coming of the new prayer book, which is not so new anymore, but the coming of the new prayer book, the theological understanding of Advent shifted. And it used to be considered just a solely penitential season, which was why it was purple. But now it's considered a penitential season, but also a season of hope and preparation and anticipation for the second coming of Christ. Not for baby Jesus to be born, not for the coming Christmas, but for the second coming of Christ. And so the color blue was chosen for a couple of reasons. First and foremost, Advent is unlike any other season in the church calendar because every other season, Jesus is the star of it. Jesus is certainly the star of the Easter season where he's been resurrected from the dead. In Lent, he's being tempted by the devil. You have the season of Epiphany, which means God with us, and you have the stories of God dwelling in humanity. Then you have Ordinary Time, which we just got out of the season of Green, where you hear the story of the 3 years of Jesus' ministry. But Advent is unlike any other season, because Jesus is actually not the star of Advent. The star of Advent is Mary, the mother of God, the God-bearer, as theologians call her. And anytime you see Mary depicted, like in your frontal for the altar, anytime you see Mary depicted, she is wearing blue. You know it's Mary and not some other woman because of her blue robes that she wears. The second reason that blue was chosen was because this is a season of anticipation and hope. And if you've ever been awake before sunset, right at dawn, where it is still both dark and light somehow, you see this beautiful dark blue sky. And it is thought that the dawn is one of the most hopeful pieces of the day, because the day has yet to begin. It's filled with endless possibility. And so the color blue was chosen for the season of Advent. So the season of Advent is 4 weeks long. It runs from today, technically through Christmas Eve, but we kind of push Christmas Day up into Christmas Eve. So it runs from now until Christmas Eve. And we will light 4 candles for the 4 Sundays in Advent, and then on Christmas they'll magically change to white. My favorite time. They'll magically change all to white for the Christ candle. And each candle has a specific meaning that we'll go through later. And the pink candle is Mary's candle, the candle of joy. But they all change to white at some point, because they're the Christ candles. But today we started our gospel reading with Matthew to set the stage of what will happen in Advent. And like I said, Advent is prepares for the second coming of Christ, or the apocalypse, the end of the world. The apocalypse and the end times, the eschatology, are 2 separate things, similarly related but a little bit different. So today we hear an apocalyptical reading from Matthew. This happens directly after the destruction of the temple. We read that 2 weeks ago from Luke. I said that we were in Holy Week, about Wednesday of Holy Week. So this is what comes directly after it. People are asking him how they'll know when the destruction of the temple will take place. And Jesus is giving them examples. So with this reading, we are very, very late in Jesus' ministry. He is about to be crucified in both Matthew and Luke. But the part of Matthew's gospel that is really interesting is the examples that Jesus gives about the apocalypse, about the end of the world. He gives the Noah example, and then he gives people in a field. One will be taken and one will be left. 2 women will be grinding meal. One will be taken and one will be left. And if you have read, or your kids or your grandkids have ever read, the Left Behind series, this is exactly where that series stems from. This stems from this theological understanding of the rapture. But what is actually happening in Jesus' context with people leaving their fields and grinding meal is what happens in the Roman Empire. When the Roman Empire and Roman soldiers want to talk to someone, they just come and take them. And one is taken and one is left. And you see that most predominantly happen in Jesus' trial. Jesus is in the garden praying. He's surrounded by his disciples. They come and they take him. Jesus is gone. The disciples are left. But then we have the story of Noah, which harkens all the way back to the Old Testament. And I'm sure you know the story of Noah very well. He builds an ark. The animals come 2 by 2. It rains for 40 days and 40 nights. A dove is sent out. There's a rainbow. And God says he will never again flood the earth. But the interesting part of the Noah reading being in the first Sunday of Advent is what the Noah reading is trying to teach us. Because, see, Noah was faithful. Noah had all sorts of evidence to the contrary of what God asked him to do. God asked Noah to build an ark. And Noah builds that ark in sunny desert days. He builds it years before the first raindrop ever falls. He builds it to his neighbors, telling him that he has gone insane because he's building an ark in a desert with no rain. He builds it even though all the evidence is to the contrary of what God has asked him to do. He builds the ark despite the fact that he lives in a place where it doesn't rain and it doesn't look like it's going to rain and it is hot and sunny. He still builds the ark. So it's like Matthew is trying to tell people to be faithful. Be faithful even when you have a lot of evidence that says you shouldn't be. Be faithful when you have a lot of evidence that is against what God is asking you to do. Be faithful. And then the other part that I really love about this reading is the mundaneness of it. People will be plowing their fields, they'll be grinding their meal, they'll be marrying and giving in marriage, they'll basically be living their lives. And then the Son of Man will come. Meaning that there's not going to be a countdown to the end of the world, there's not going to be a timeline when you can circle it on your calendar. You don't need to buy tickets to get to the best temple or church in the world to wait for the coming of the Son of Man. You don't need to do anything. God will just appear to you where you are living your life. There's something really mundane about that. You don't need to be in a better place than where you are now. You don't need to be the most wealthy or the richest or the most adorned church in the world. God will just appear to you when you're tending your fields and cooking dinner and living your life. Like I said at the beginning, I hated the season of Advent. Now I will say that I love the season of Advent. It is actually my favorite season in the church year. It's one of the shorter seasons of it. It's just 4 Sundays. But the reason that I love Advent now is because Advent is the season of church life that is most pertinent to where we are. Advent is the in-between time, the time between the coming of Jesus being born into the world and the second coming of Christ. It is the time between the now and the not yet, and we live in-between times. And the season of Advent is to prepare us for that. How do you live in an in-between world? We live in an in-between world, and the season of Advent, it pushes us to be prepared for that, to live the lives that we have now in the world that we have, knowing that it is imperfect and broken and not the perfect kingdom of God that we'll see in the next life. The season of Advent prepares us for the liminal space that we call life. So I ask you for the next 4 Sundays that you join me in the season of hope and preparation, and join me in having a holy, peaceful Advent. Amen.